Really great to have my guests in this morning. First, I want to thank Dr. Magda Zeglin for joining us this morning, cardiologist. Really good to meet you.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Right. You know, also Steve Albright is joining us, cardiovascular service. Steve, it's good to see you again.
The same here. Thank you.
Just between you and I, how rare are people like Dr. Magda Zeglin? First off, there are not a lot of female surgeons.
Yeah.
You are a rare bird. I assume you already knew that. I mean, you're an elite peer group, so you have to know this.
I'm going to clarify just one thing quickly.
Yeah?
I'm the cardiologist, interventional cardiologist, so not quite the surgeon.
Okay.
But you're correct on that. We do deal with invasive procedures every day, yes.
Right. So, and being on your feet and doing very delicate work. It's funny, guys, how interested I become in what you two do when I've got a friend of mine on a life flight helicopter describing his flight into St. Louis while he's puking blood into the roof of the helicopter and it's dripping back on his face. And he says, man, here I am paying $7,000 for a helicopter, and I can't look down on the city I love while I'm dying. And there you go. I mean, if you're not interested now in how your friends and how the treatments that are available, that'll do it for you. And that was my former news guy when I was at the radio station Murfreesboro telling me this story.
Wow.
And I've been following along with him on the phone of how rough this can be on a person. Ripped aorta. And I realize what you do, the speed, the pressure that you are on sometimes to be able to get things done.
Yes, sometimes just minutes count. That's very, very true. We have to be quick and we have to be very precise and careful. Yes, that's correct.
And team-oriented.
Always
right, which is where
efforts.
Steve comes yes. in. There's you got to marshal the troops.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I've just been here about a year and a half. I came from the Dallas-Fort Worth area and working in a hospital there, and I've been extraordinarily pleased with the teamwork that I've seen and the capabilities of the cath lab staff that's working with them and the surgical staff up in the CVOR. But when you talk about a rarity in regards to Dr. Zeglin, I would have to say she's really rare from the standpoint not only being a female cardiologist, but her skill set along with Dr. Malasana and also the surgeons is rare across the country. And I couldn't be more pleased. In the 35 years I've done this, these people are really good.
Because anybody can have a scalpel. Not anybody can have some of the equipment, but not everybody has the knowledge that it takes to do some work on the fly. I announced that you were coming in this morning earlier. And I got a text at 8:04 from one of our listeners. Says, Dr. Zeglin saved my life last June when I had a heart attack. She is my, I'm not sure what that emoticon is, but it's one of the good ones. It looks like there's a halo on an emoji. So,
well, thank you.
That's a pretty good deal. That's just one. There's been many. Here's the thing. Something new that is coming on board, and it's kind of interesting when you look at what you're doing, because here in Southern Illinois, we have for a long time not had exactly always the cutting edge, right? But this new transcatheter aortic valve replacement, TAVR or TAMI, I guess, is TAVI is also, again, an abbreviation. What is a transcatheter aortic valve replacement?
Well, like the name says, what we basically do, instead of trying to cut the patient's chest open to put a new valve in, because not every patient can have the sternotomy and traditional approach with surgical
replacement. Very hard on people,
yes.
Yeah.
So this procedure has been invented initially for patients who cannot have open heart surgery because they would not survive that.
I see.
So like the name says, we deliver the valve through the catheter. The valve is loaded on the catheter and it gets delivered to the heart, most often from the groin artery all the way up.
How big does the catheter have to be to fit a valve in, or do you roll it up?
It used to be very big when this procedure has started. Now, because of technology has progressed so much, it's getting smaller and smaller. It's still a pretty good size catheter, but like I said, it has to be big enough. So the artery that we go through has to be big, about 5.5 millimeters in order to accommodate the catheter. So that's how the size pretty much describes.
A man-made valve.
Yes.
Okay. See, this is another one of the items that, you know, because you want to talk about a part of the human body that has to be incredibly resilient, durable. This is really one of the miracles of the human body, are the valves involved in the heart. And once you've seen some of these photographs of them working in process, you're pretty impressed, especially how many times it does it and does it for your entire life. How do we make a product by man that is that good? Do we?
Yes, we do.
Teflon, or what's it made
of? Well, no, it depends what valve we're talking about, but it's a metal frame, a nitinol-based frame, and it's got the valve that we have been working with in Carbondale has a pig tissue, pig pericardium that's sewed on that nitinol frame by hand, by a human. So that's how it's structured.
How's the blood supply go across the blood ring, the metal ring to from the pig
so
to the human?
So once the valve gets delivered, and once it opens, it flares up. Then the minute it flares up, the hemodynamics across the valve make it start function right away.
Really?
And open and close, yes.
And so the blood flow across that tissue suffices?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you, I'm a little surprised.
And the way the nitinol frame grabs to the aorta, it grabs, because usually those valves that we put the new valves in are very diseased. They have a lot of cement buildup on them. They're very calcified. So the idea behind the technology is that the frame that's built of metal grabs to that calcium. So it is not sewed on like normally surgical valves would be. This one just gets expanded and accommodates into the shape of the aorta and the heart.
All right. So you put it in such a point where the pressure keeps it in place.
Yes. Pressure and the design of the valve itself.
Because I was thinking about how are you going to sew that much tissue that's important around that circle through a catheter, and now I know the answer. It's really more of a design issue
here,
isn't it?
It's a brilliant technology, yes. It is.
How long has this been in use?
It's been in use in Europe for about 10 years, in the United States for a good 7 years.
So right.
We've got trials that go all the way for 5 years now.
Why do people need heart valve replacements as a rule?
Some of them get born with the rare condition that predisposes the valve to go and degenerate and get stenotic early. But most of our patients, and this is mostly where the technology is for, just because of the degeneration of the native aortic valve that happens with age. Some people develop it earlier, some people develop it later stage, but that's what happens.
Help me with stenosis.
Stenosis is the blockage.
All right, it's the blockage itself. Okay.
So the valve gets narrower and narrower. It builds up a lot of cement on it. And with time, the opening that the blood goes through from the heart to the main artery of the body, the aorta, gets narrower and narrower. And when it gets critical, that's when it's time to replace it.
All right. So when the valve is so often in the way of blood and coming in contact and hitting it in contact, you know, for your entire life, I've always read in the past a lot about how there are other issues when it comes to heart valves, in particular, you know, viruses. And sometimes bacteriological infections that this constant contact and work and being in the way where the blood's just not sliding by kind of creates a little more like the hull of a ship. Eventually, things start to grow on it, for lack of a better word. Is that accurate?
It is. Right now, this technology is not indicated for patients with infection of the valve,
right,
or whatever is left when the infection resolves. This is still being investigated. And especially we have to be with the, like you're talking about, the valve infection. We have to be very careful with the timing of the valve replacement because you don't want any new valve inside the heart to be infected again. But yes, if we're talking about, for example, what's even more interesting about this technology, if the surgical valve that has been implanted, let's say years ago, starts to leak too much, this new technology can be used to put a new valve inside the old degenerated surgical valve.
So you don't have to take the old one out?
No, you never.
All right.
Well,
so
sometimes you have to do this if patient is not a candidate for the transcatheter option. But now we see more and more indications coming and being approved for the surgical valves that are old and degenerated. And a patient, for example, cannot have another open heart surgery. So we cannot remove the old one and put the new one in. That's when this technology comes handy. And we've seen approved indications for that as well.
You know, I have talked to a number of people who have had their chest cracked open, and without exception, they all changed. It changed their lives.
Yes.
Why is that?
Everybody heals differently. I think the age that the surgery happens matters too. Everybody, like I said, there's a physical healing time. There's a mental healing time. This is a big wound. It takes time.
Put you in touch with your mortality, I would think, if nothing else.
Yes.
But I have, and it's, you know, a couple of times, and I know, Steve, you've been doing this a long time, that, you know, there's a psychological recovery and there's a physical recovery. Getting a whiff of your own mortality, especially a strong whiff like this, having your chest cracked open, your, you know, basically your internal organs exposed to a room, I have, without exception, seen change. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's changed the way they live. Sometimes it's changed the way they've acted. They get in touch with it. It's one of those things that when, you know, you've got the practical nuts and bolts of what you do, and then, Steve, there's the aspect of helping this person recover, support, therapy, realizing that that things have changed. I mean, this is another, you know, you can go ahead and play, get the game, get the ball downfield, but there's that aftercare that's very important here.
Yeah, it helps us to understand the importance of what we call cardiovascular and pulmonary rehab. And the doctors, every time we have a procedure like this, whether it's open heart surgery or whether they've had a stent because of a heart attack or whether we're doing this procedure as well, heart failure patients, there's the American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology recommends strongly that these patients go through a cardiac rehab process. And a lot of people think the cardiac rehab program is an exercise program. The real truth of the matter is, in my mind, we do exercise there, but the main thing is the emotional and social support that you get there. When somebody from one of Dr. Zeglin's procedures, it's a little bit older and it's kind of intensive to them, and they come in a little bit down and they see other people that's gone through this, but they're really doing well. It makes a big difference, and I think it helps that psychological piece that both of you have talked about.
And it's really crucial. I at one point, isn't it weird how you're at one age, you think one thing, and as you go through life, things change? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the areas, how you view yourself, how you view your health, how you view your own mortality. You know, you're only immortal till you're about 22. Right? Maybe 25. I thought I was immortal up to 37, paying for it, right? And there comes a point where you realize this is real, this is about me, and you start to get an interest. And what's interesting is I have talked to people who have gone through surgeries like this. The last man I know who was a very good friend of mine from Carbondale, a fireman for many years, a Vietnam veteran, Special Forces, he had to go to Missouri for this treatment. And they replaced it with pig valves. Something went wrong with the pig valve. He had to go back because it was, as you mentioned earlier, leaking. So I think when you look at this as a period of time to be able to have this resource here, and when you look at the census report and the average age of Southern Illinoisans, their predisposition towards smoking and other behaviors which damage the heart, that it's good to have Dr. Magda Zeglin in Southern Illinois. That's my thought.
Well, thank you.
So, and I agree with that. I mean, I've seen a lot of these programs, like you said, because I've been doing this about 35 years. The skill sets of a cardiologist out of Prairie Cardiovascular, in my mind, is head and shoulders above any program that I've ever been in. It wasn't something I was expecting when I came to Carbondale, but these folks have very, what we call, mad skill sets. They're really good at what they do.
How long did it take you to get good at what you do?
Oh, boy. It's been good. Now I would say 8 years.
Seven, 8 years?
I want to just highlight one thing. It's never in one person work. It's always a huge, huge team effort. And we would not be there if we didn't have, you know, the excellent cath lab staff, excellent operating room staff, our surgeons who've been working so, so hard to get all those surgeries done. And so we all as a group can meet the requirements to actually start the transcatheter aortic valve program, because it takes a lot of work to get there and it's never a one-person job.
And I'm really glad you mentioned that. And the reason why is because what you've been doing with this operation, with this heart valve replacement, takes two, doesn't it?
Oh, it actually takes four plus.
Yeah, but two operators right there on the site, though,
three.
Right? Three, no
yes.
kidding.
We always
so the cardiologist...
Actually, there's two interventional cardiologists. So it's Dr. Malasana, my partner, and myself. And we always have a cardiothoracic surgeon in the room. The risk of major complications, which would be possibly life-threatening, is very low for this procedure. But if it happens, that's why we always have one of our surgeons present. And actually, they are actively participating in the procedure. So they're doing it together with us. So it's at least, like I said, four plus.
See, and the minute you said that you've got a thoracic surgeon in the room, it made perfect sense, because you don't have time to go, I'm going to say, get him off the golf course. That is so mean. But get him out of the back room. Whatever it is, to get, you know, that you want him there. And if it's me on the table, I want him there. And if it's my mom, I want him there, right? If I'm the insurance company, I want him there. All that stuff. So it's really a real pleasure meeting you.
Thank you so much for having both of us.
How long have you been to Southern Illinois?
It's been 3 years and a half now.
Right. So you enjoy it?
Yes.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Poland.
All right.
So a little country in Europe.
I've heard about it. I've got a lot of friends. And when you're in Illinois, you meet a lot of people from Poland because the largest Polish population in North America is in Chicago. And then what do? They come to school at SIU.
That's very true, actually.
All right. And it is. And quite frankly, I've never met anybody from Poland I didn't like.
Oh, that's good to know.
Isn't it?
Yep. Me neither.
Me either.
I've only met one. But
right. And I've been, you know, when you look at what's going on in your country right now, great group of people.
So far, so good, yes.
Yeah, so far, so good. Very classic there in that respect. So how was your transition to Southern Illinois?
It was good. I didn't move from Poland. I've been in the U.S. for the past 10 years now because I came for my training after med school, which I did in Poland. So I moved from Vermont. So the transition was a little different. No mountains, not much snow.
Right.
The winters we have here, I'm always okay with that.
Yeah, a little less is what you're saying than Vermont.
A little less.
Right, until this weekend. So anyway, as I said, and Steve's good to have you in. Now, when it comes to this, we have this service, but the fact is we have a lot of cardiovascular services in Southern Illinois that have vastly improved.
Yes, sir.
And when you look, as I was rattling on about the census report and looking at some of the statistics that Woody Thorne from SIH have been good enough to supply to me, that we understand that cardiopulmonary services here in Southern Illinois are really essential with our population, and we went without for a long time. But you can't go... It's not going to the car wash and putting a quarter in, and then services are available.
Right.
People, equipment. Matter of fact, my understanding is you had to build a hybrid surgery suite for Dr. Magel and the rest of the staff to be able to pull these surgeries off.
That's correct. That was a little $4 million project that we had to put in to provide the base services for it. Southern Illinois Healthcare has made what I consider to be a very strong commitment to the patients who need cardiovascular care, because like you said, most of the things that happen with patients are important, and a lot of times time is really important, so they don't have the ability to get somewhere else. And I've looked, like I said, a lot of programs. I've looked at Vanderbilt and some of those. This program is not second to any program I've ever seen.
And when you look at this and try to stand back from this problem a bit, and let's talk about it in the heart valve respect. You can be working out, you can be eating right, but you don't brush your teeth. Bacterial infections that get to the heart. I mean, when you look at a lack of dental services, southeastern Illinois, there's got to be a correlation there, right? And sometimes I think we think, well, you smoke, but there's really a long list of issues here. You can be exposed to any long list of items, including chemicals that can cause heart valve damage. And like I said, it's good to have these services grow here in Southern Illinois.
Yeah, I think of a specific patient just recently where it came in and had a viral infection. It impacted the heart. The heart was squeezing at 10% capacity. The patient was really not doing well. And Dr. Lee, another one of our interventional cardiologists, came in and immediately inserted a heart pump called Impella.
I know. I'm aware. I read it.
It's a new technology. And the patient, who looked like they were about to succumb to this process, all of a sudden got great color and got better. And he actually, for sure, saved the patient who was within seconds of maybe losing their lives.
Right. Incredible. Does it stress you out a little bit, saving people's lives?
The stress comes after we're done with the procedure.
Really?
So I never get that. I mean, I do get anxious and stressed, but I just forget about it once we do it. You just have to focus. And for me, like, the life doesn't exist beyond my patient and whoever my team is.
Focus.
At the minute. But after we're finished, yes, that's when you really realize how much stress it takes sometimes and how much it affects you, actually, because then when the shaking comes.
Physically demanding, too.
Yes, I would say.
A hand-eye coordination, standing. For how long is this an average TAVR?
TAVR, it depends really on the complexity of the procedure and some anatomic parameters that we have to deal with, but usually it's anywhere from 45 minutes or hour to 2 and 3 hours sometimes.
Not as long as I thought.
No.
And that's because it's minimally invasive and not all that stitching, and I've tried to stay away from the term cracking open their chest. All right. Steve's good to see you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Zeglin. Magda, it's really been a pleasure to meet you today, too. And best
thank
of luck.
So
I'm hoping you guys are around for my first heart attack.
We'll be there.
You never have it.
I'm hoping you never, but it's inevitable. So I'm going to stick around. Could you? Could be today.